Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome back to another solo podcast episode. This one is surprisingly timely because someone asked recently in a video, I think it was a TikTok. I don't even know. Someone asked, like, you know, it's been almost 2 years. I know you were pregnant, but like, what's your relationship like right now with stopping from drinking alcohol? And I was like, oh my God, it is 2 years this week. I believe it's like March 6th. I never actually knew the date, but I went back and looked because I know it was the day after I went on a double date with Emily and her husband. And Emily's always like, I literally forced you to stop drinking. I'm like, no, not at all. But I know that was the last time I like went out and drank. So I'm going to rewind and I'll plug in any episodes in the show notes that also talk on this topic because I know I've done a solo on it before. I think two solos. And I know I talk a lot about it in the episode with Melissa Wood Tepperberg. And it just seems like it's a continuing topic that people are interested in. So I'll link the other episodes and then I'll give some context of history of this. And then you guys submitted so many questions that I probably should have gone through before I sat down to record, but I haven't. So here we are. Context. I was always someone who felt I had a very like healthy relationship with alcohol. I grew up in a very, what I will say, alcohol forward household, where like my parents were having drinks every night. Like that was just the quote unquote norm. And so it was never something that was like hidden from me or I wasn't necessarily allowed to have. There wasn't that type of relationship with it. Like we were the house that had all the parties in high school. And, you know, the rule was my mom would, she's like, if I called and knew every parent and I had everyone's car keys, I will supply beer and no hard alcohol. And I was allowed to have drinks at dinner. Like it was just a very comfortable relationship with it. And so when I went to college, it wasn't this like new thing that, oh my God, I finally have access to at all. And in college, I definitely partied and would like get drunk. And I mean, I can't even fathom how I did the things I did. But in that same breath, I did always feel this push of like, I never wanted to drink as much as my friends. And even when I was drunk, I was still kind of this like controlled drunk. And so people would always be like, come on, drink more, drink more, drink more. Like, have some more fun, have some more fun. And that always bothered me because I'm not someone that can be peer pressured. I'm like, no, I'm fucking good. Like, I am good here. Leave me alone. And there was always this kind of inner voice of like, I don't seem to enjoy this as much as other people do. And post-college in New York, obviously I drank, I went out, but it was the same type of thing. Like, I remember being in my early 20s and saying to Joe, I can't wait until we're in our like late 20s, 30s, where our nights out are like a nice dinner at a restaurant with like some of our friends and then home and in bed by 11. Call me lame. I don't care. Like, that's what I always wanted. So the nights that we'd be like pre-gaming in someone's apartment, like taking shots out of a solo cup and like going to a club at midnight were just not it for me. I was like, this is not what I enjoy. But I did feel pushed, not necessarily to drink the same amount as my friends, but to do that because I was like, well, it's all what all my friends are doing. It's what I'm quote unquote supposed to be doing. With that being said, I never like drank to get drunk at all. And I've had this conversation with a few of my girlfriends around the fact that like they will never casually drink. And this was more when we were in our 20s. They would drink to purposely get drunk. And I never felt that way. And I really loved the taste of alcohol. Like, I love the taste of tequila on the rocks with lime or a spicy margarita or a glass of wine or a like draft beer. And so I was someone that always drank in my home. Again, not drinking to get drunk, but like, oh, we're making dinner. Let's pour a glass of wine. The Olivia Pope method, you know? And with that, I found myself in a place in my 20s where I remember realizing, oh my God, I basically have drank every night for, I can't even remember the last time, because whether it'd be out on a date or we'd be going out with friends or I'd be at a work thing. And then the other nights I'd have like a beer or a glass of wine or something at home. And that was a realization for me when I was speaking with, or actually it was when I lived with my girlfriend. And I remember being like, don't you want a glass of wine? She's like, you'll just like have a glass of wine while you watch TV by yourself. And I'm like, yeah. Is that not like a thing we do? But that's just like the way I was raised. So I implemented this thing called like Sober Mondays, where that was the one night of the week I wouldn't drink because I realized otherwise I was drinking night after night, week after week, month after month. And then the first kind of introduction I had with like cutting out alcohol, besides those like Sober Mondays, quote unquote, was when I had my concussion in 2018. So I was 27. And it was when I was engaged. So it was that year between like engagement and wedding. And because of my concussion, I had to cut out alcohol for, I want to say it was like 6 months. So March to September, I was 26. And March to like August-ish, I cut out alcohol because my concussion symptoms were still so bad after my accident that like we'd go out to a bar and I would just have like a raging headache simply from the sound. And then anytime I drank, I got a headache like that night. So I wasn't fully cutting out alcohol, but I was very much cutting back on it. And there were many of nights I vividly remember going out with friends, coming home and just crying in bed to Joe being like, why? This isn't fair. Like, this just doesn't feel fair. I'm so sad that I like this part of my life has been stripped from me. I miss being able to just have fun and be myself. And this fucking accident has ruined everything. And it's really interesting for me now to reflect on that time period because there is such a difference of why I felt that way versus why I now feel empowered by this decision. And it's because it was a decision. Right now, this is an active decision that's up to me whether I'm going to drink. Then when I had to stop, it wasn't an active decision. It was simply because of my post-concussion symptoms. Obviously, it's a decision in the sense that like I could have just kept drinking and like partying through all of this, but there was pain on the other side, etc. And I felt like someone had made that decision for me. And that felt really, it made me really angry. And I felt very like helpless and just frustrated by the entire situation. So I end up getting married, etc. I'm drinking again. I'm now having a kid. My relationship with alcohol still was fine. But I did feel this like continuous pull when I would hear people, and I talk about this in the episode with Melissa because she was one of these people for me. When I would hear people talk about their decision not to drink, I'd be jealous. And I say this all the time, like, I can be jealous of someone who's 6 foot tall because I'll never be 6 feet tall. That's not in the cards for me. But I shouldn't be jealous of someone who's making a decision that I can actively make myself. I can choose to stop drinking. So if I'm jealous of someone for not drinking, why don't I just do it myself? And it was that kind of awakening that kept happening within me and kept pulling me back to this idea. And it was after this double date night, I woke up. Our toddler at that point was 9 months old. Yeah, 9 months old. And I just remember being hungover, even though I wasn't even like that drunk, and being like, I don't want to fucking do this today. I don't want to mom. I simply do not want to mom. Like, being a parent hungover is a different form of torture. And it was in this moment that I said to myself, I love being a mom. It is one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given and is one of my favorite things I get to do. Why am I actively doing something that makes me dislike something I love? Because by drinking, I was actively disliking being a mom the next day. And that just didn't make sense to me. The math was not mathing. That in combination with this active jealousy of people that I could be doing the same thing of, I basically turned to Joe and I was like, I'm just going to like take a break. I'm just going to simply take a break and we'll see what happens. And there was no black and white rule. There was no goal. Quite honestly, if anything, I thought it would have been like a week. And then the days kept going, the weeks kept going, the months kept going, and I just kept feeling better and better and better. And I was like, I'm actually just not interested in alcohol anymore. And that's really it. It's not this like big thing that I think about every day. I rarely ever even think about it because I'm just so happy not doing it. And I'll get into kind of like the biggest things I've noticed, but one of the most surprising things I feel and especially felt was this like inner found confidence in myself, because it was this confirmation that like I did always know myself best. I was happier when I wasn't drinking. I enjoyed my friends and people in my life and doing things a lot more not drinking. And so this constant voice in the back of my head when I was younger being like, I don't actually want to do this, but I feel like I have to because it's what my friends are doing. I was right. And that gave me a confidence in other aspects of my life that I would have never expected. So it's been 2 years now. Obviously, 9 months of that, I was pregnant, which I will say that was the only time where I was like, I really want to drink. And it was because, yes, obviously, like I was someone who had a drink or two, et cetera, while I was pregnant with my first. So like, I'm not a firm believer of like, you cannot have anything. But I just was like, the reason I want to is because it's more off the table than it once was by me being pregnant. So it feels less like my decision and more like someone else's. Other than that, within these 2 years, like I really have not missed it. And I think people want these like big talking points of like, and this is how I overcome the desire and this is what I do and all that. But there's just not a desire and it's not an active thought. Maybe it was in the beginning. I don't even really think it was after the first few weeks. But like when I go out to dinner, when I go out with girlfriends, when I do anything, I don't even think about it. Like when I go to weddings, it's not even a thought for me of like, oh man, I really wish I could have that drink. Because I also said to myself, if I ever want to have a drink, I can have a drink. Like I don't struggle with addiction. So I can have a drink if I want one. I just simply have not wanted one. And the only thing I will like want is to try a like new cocktail if it looks really good, or if someone got a spicy margarita, I'm like, let me have a sip. Or honestly, the biggest thing I miss is like a draft IPA beer. So this has happened a few times where like if Joe orders one or someone I'm with orders one, I'm like, can I just have a sip? And I have a sip and I'm like, and that's all I wanted. And every time I have that sip, I'm like, if I want more, I'll get one. But I never actually want more because I know personally, it just doesn't serve me. Do I like the taste? Yeah. I drink non-alcoholic beer for the taste because I love it. But like that one sip does exactly what I want it to do. And I actually do not need more. We are on a huge, huge freaking cereal kick over here in this household. Joe taught our toddler how to eat cereal like a few months ago. And the whole like when you finish eating the cereal, you pick up the bowl and you drink all the milk, etc. It is one of my favorite things in the world because when I watch him do it, he looks like such a grown up teenager. But now we get to all just enjoy breakfast together because with this cereal kick, I also have been on a kick of trying to make sure I'm getting more protein with my breakfast because I feel like if I don't, then I'm starving by like 9:30 in the morning. And I'm like, why am I already hungry again. So what have we turned to? Magic Spoon. I absolutely love the Magic Spoon cereal. They have a variety pack with four flavors that are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Personally, we love to mix the cocoa and peanut butter together because, hello, that's the best combination ever. But this pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories a serving. So it's high protein, and it also has 0 grams of sugar. So awesome for morning, especially for the kids. And it is all the keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free if you have any of those allergens or specific diets that you are focusing on. Go to magicspoon.com/foodie to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code foodie at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/foodie and use code foodie to save $5 off. Two things I am constantly prioritizing and encouraging everyone else to as well are my mental health and physical health. For me, this starts with my morning routine. I am prioritizing my mental health by having some very necessary alone and quiet time before taking on my day, and simultaneously prioritizing my physical health while including nutritional supplements like AG1. If you're a longtime listener, you know that I've been drinking AG1 for over 5 years now. When I started drinking AG1 daily, I noticed I had increased energy first thing in the morning and that it helped with my digestion throughout the day. As a creature of habit, it is absolutely my preferred method to start my day. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Because I am recommending AG1 to anyone with ears, I love seeing my friends and family also get hooked and join the daily AG1 train. I obviously am a huge fan of the company, but my husband is truly their number one supporter. Without fail, he is making his glass of AG1 every single morning, first thing when he comes downstairs before starting his workout. He feels it helps him feel more energetic in the morning and that he's getting the nutrients his body craves first thing, which is a true win-win. AG1 is a supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/FFF. That's drinkag1.com/FFF to check it out. Let's get into your questions. The number one question you guys asked is like, will you ever go back and do you miss it? Do I miss it? No, I actually do not miss it at all. And that's shocking to me. Shocking. And I had this moment the other day where we were away for the weekend at Cedar Lakes and like the guys all woke up like a little hungover. And I was like, that is the greatest gift I could ever give myself, that I am not waking up like with that cotton mouth, taste of alcohol, headache, fog. Like it makes me sick to think about. And how amazing is that, that I don't feel that way. Will I ever go back? I have no idea. Again, this isn't like a hard line in the sand, like I'm never drinking again. It's just alcohol, I don't think serves me. Maybe one day I will have a different thought on it. But like right now, I simply have no interest. The other thing a lot of people asked about is my relationship with like weed and mushrooms versus alcohol. So what do you call being alcohol sober, but not otherwise sober? I never say I'm sober. I realize that it gets a lot of people angry and I am not trying to upset anyone, but B, I'm simply not sober. And C, I think that sober implies more of that like relationship with alcohol that's tumultuous, that maybe there's an addiction underlying, which I didn't feel I had. So people will say like California sober, because I guess this is what a lot of people in California do, but I just say I don't drink or like alcohol free, etc. And in terms of what makes weed quote unquote okay and alcohol not, it's simply just like how my body reacts. Like for me, alcohol intensifies. Is that a thing? Whatever. Alcohol like really makes my anxiety and depression worse. That's the best way to say it. It just puts it under a fucking magnifying glass. When I am hungover, I am the most anxious and depressed version of myself, and it is not an enjoyable experience. And I know some people will be like, oh, well, the night was worth it. The night was never worth it for me. It was never worth it because I can still have those fun nights. I just don't need that alcohol. In terms of weed, and I'll just add in mushrooms. The way I feel about weed is, for me, it never has had a negative impact on my mental health. If anything, it has drastically improved my mental health. Because I think sometimes, and maybe this is a whole separate episode, but I think sometimes when people think about someone taking an edible or smoking a joint or whatever, it's like, oh, you're comatose on the couch, you can't do anything, you're eating a bag of family-sized chips. Like, that's not at all what my reality is when I'm experiencing or enjoying cannabis. Mine is a low-dose edible that I am fully functioning with, but it really quiets the voice in my head. And it allows me to just like sit with my thoughts and stop my ADHD overstimulated brain and focus on whatever is in front of me versus thinking of the 10,000 things I have to do. Like, when I take an edible, it's the only time where I will be doing something and actually like complete a task without thinking about anything else. I hyper-focus on whatever it is in that moment, which is such a rare occurrence for me. And in terms of mushrooms, there are two sides of like psilocybin mushrooms. And again, this can be a whole other episode, but there's like the side where it's being used in a recreational way. Like, I'll speak for myself at weddings, especially where it helps me like stay up a little later and it like intensifies the fun of certain things. And it's more in the background, but everything's just like a little bit more enjoyable. And then there's the microdosing aspect of deeply helping my mental health, anxiety, depression, creativity, and all of those things. And I totally understand that people will have judgment on this, but I beg you to question why you are potentially okay with mommy wine culture, quote unquote, and this sparks something for you. Because there's a lot of unlearning to do there and inner work to figure out why your reaction is the way that it is. The other main question, what do you order when you're out with friends, or do you ever miss a fun cocktail dinner, that type of thing? So for me, I know that there's like a big movement of like mocktails and making them at home and et cetera. And like, I am so for all of that. If that's what you're interested in, I have no interest in that. I was never like making elaborate cocktails at home. Therefore, you better believe I'm not making elaborate mocktails at home. If I want something to drink, I will just have like a Spindrift over ice, just a seltzer. If I'm at a bar, I typically am just ordering a seltzer with lime. Sometimes I'll do a seltzer with lime and like a splash of grapefruit juice. And then if we're at a nice restaurant and they have like a fun cocktail list, I do love that in today's world, most places have mocktails. So if there's a mocktail that looks good, I'll get it. Otherwise, like, I'm actually just fine with seltzer or water. I also, if it's like a night out, will sometimes get a Coke with lime. Yes, I'm a Coke girl, not a Diet Coke girl, but that just for the caffeine and because it tastes delicious. But if there aren't mocktails and they're really tasty looking cocktails, I will absolutely have sips of my friends, like a sip if it looks good and I want to try it. Otherwise, I'll ask for a virgin version of a cocktail that looks good to me. It's not always possible, but I always ask if I'm like really interested in one specific cocktail. Or sometimes I will say like being in a tropical location gives me more of that craving for a cocktail. So I will get a virgin mojito, which rules and is delicious, or a virgin pina colada, which is also freaking delicious. So it's not really ever a thing for me of questioning like, what am I going to drink? It's just, okay, I'll seltzer. And that like is totally fine for me. A lot of people are also asking like how to navigate going out with friends and that whole thing. So I'll kind of like lump all these questions into one. Navigating bachelorette parties when you don't drink anymore. I have been to, I don't even know the number, a handful of bachelorette parties and a handful of weddings since not drinking. And it really has not been hard. And I mean this like wholeheartedly. I'm not trying to like be like I'm holier than thou whatsoever. I'm just trying to explain to everyone that like it does not need to be a thing. And if you're surrounding yourself with people who make it a thing, then you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. I will say there are also a lot of questions of like, have your friends changed, et cetera? Have you felt peer pressured? Not one of my friends has ever made me feel badly about this. Not one friend. Not one friend has questioned it. Not one friend has peer pressured me. Not one friend has been like, oh, come on, just a drink. None of it. Every single friend in my life has been like, that's amazing. I'm so proud of you. Good for you. And it's not a thing. And we don't talk about it. I go out to dinner with my girlfriends all the time. I just simply don't order a drink. On these bachelorettes, I just simply don't get drinks. Like, I will say one bachelorette I even went on, it was like my close girlfriend's other group of friends. Like, I'm a college friend of hers and her high school friends. One of them was like pouring shots for everyone. She's like, Cam, here, I poured you a shot glass of lemonade. And I was like, thanks so much. Like, that was so kind. You absolutely do not have to do that, but like, so sweet of you. Shout out Catherine. And like, those types of things are really kind. But I also just think I will say, it does give you a look into who you're surrounding yourself with. Because there may be people that when you stop drinking, and I'm not saying everyone has to stop drinking whatsoever. That is not the point of this episode. This is more if you're interested in the topic and you're like curious about it. But it will really clarify who you want to spend time with. Because there may be people that you're spending time with who are just like fun to go party with and you're hammered half the time you're with them. And then when you're around them sober or without drinking, you're like, I actually don't think I really enjoy you. And I'm not saying that that has happened to me personally, but I know if I had made this decision in college, that probably would have happened, or when I was younger, or I just would have like not been around certain things that I was. But for me, everyone in my life has been supportive of the decision. And I do feel like if people are pressuring you or making it a thing, that is on them, not on you. The most eye-opening experience over my past, I don't know how old I am, 32, I've been drinking for 15 years, is that as someone who was never the person like pushing alcohol on others and felt I was being pushed more, the people who always had the biggest problems with me drinking less than them or me not being as drunk as them were because they were self-conscious of how much they were drinking or how drunk they were and they wanted me on their page. That's a them thing, not a me thing. So if someone is like questioning you for drinking or peer pressuring you or making you feel bad, that says more about their relationship with alcohol than it does about anything else. Because it's always the people who have the poorest relationship that want you on their level so that they feel less badly or judged or whatever it is about what they're doing. Something that causes me irrational anxiety is the thought that like I'm going to forget moments or memories that happens in my children's life. And I've talked to so many of you about this. I know so many of my friends feel the same way and a lot of you over DMs where it feels like we just have so much information in our brains of like what they're doing in this moment, how fun they are, what they love, these memories. And then time passes and I don't even remember what happened like 2 weeks ago, let alone a year ago. And it really overwhelms me because I want to like have a place to keep it all because I want to remember it. And I've talked about this and I'm so happy because I think I have found the solution. Keepsake is the solution for all of us. It's the easiest way for parents to capture and preserve memories about their little ones and growing kiddos. Basically, it's an app that sends you text prompts. You can do it daily or up to like as less as twice a week, which is what we have. But you get these text prompts with thoughtful questions that are asking you things you wouldn't have necessarily ever like put pen to paper on. So I got one the other day that was like, what is Squash's favorite thing to do right now? And I went into such deep detail of how we play with all of his Toy Story toys and how his imagination is so wild and that we chase around Emperor Zurg at the park and all of these things. Or it'll be like, what was the first picture ever taken of your baby? And I send the first photo we ever took of October. And so we have a journal going for each one of them. And you can like merge the account with your partner. So he gets prompts as well that are different. And it's so incredible because it's allowed us to like put these memories and moments in one space for them to live. So it's a digital journal and you can actually turn it into a physical journal, which is such a great idea for when they're older to give as a gift. I love the convenience of it all because you don't have to like sit down and think about journaling. You just get these text prompts, however often you set it up. It's freaking amazing. And I recommend it to every parent. Your first week is completely free and you can go to keepsake.com/Cameron. That's keepsake with a Q. So Q-E-E-P-S-A-K-E and redeem 20% off your annual subscription with code Cameron. I shared on social that I'm like struggling with figuring out what the heck to wear right now. I just feel very lost. So my stylist, Mackie, came over the other day and we went through my entire closet and decided what we want to keep, what we want to try to like reconfigure into new looks, and any potential pieces that I want to invest in. And for me, there's nothing better than a like core group of essential pieces of clothing that you can just like rotate and wear in different ways. You know, like we all talk about building the capsule wardrobe, but it really is the best idea for anyone, especially people who are just like sick of making decisions. So for items that I'm looking to buy, I'm so grateful for Quince because I love that Quince has luxury essentials at affordable prices. They offer a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. They create timeless classics that never go out of style, items that you'll have in your closet forever, which always makes putting together outfits just so much easier. The best part is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/Cameron for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Cameron to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Cameron. In terms of relationships, another huge thing has been like, how has this impacted your relationship with your husband? And I remember I used to get this question a lot when I first stopped drinking, being like, what are your husband's thoughts? And once I asked him and I was like, do you ever care that I don't drink? And he was like, why would I care? It makes you such a better version of yourself. Why would I ever want you to do something that makes you a worse version of yourself? And he did say like the only time that there's a part of me that misses that is like if we're out to dinner and I want to get like a bottle of wine to share versus a glass of wine, but like not a big deal. I can just order a glass of wine. And I think maybe it would be different if we were younger and like we were going out a lot more. Again, I think I'd still be going out, just not as late as maybe I once was with drinking. But for our relationship, like it's just made our relationship better. So there's no like, I wish you still drank because it was hurting me. And I think just with age and becoming parents and the fact that I was always the one being like, oh, let's open a bottle of wine at home, or like, oh, I'm going to have a beer. Do you want one? Like, he still drinks, but he definitely drinks less. And I think that's a combination of all of those things. Looking at these questions, I also think there's this like belief that you have to drink to like go out. And obviously, yes, like I will, not obviously, but there are times where if I said, like if I'm going to a wedding or if I'm going out, sometimes I'll take an edible or I'll dabble with mushrooms. But like there are other times where I go out and I'm completely sober and I still have a lot of fun. Like you do not have to drink or do anything to enjoy yourself and go out. Like this weekend, we're going to a wedding. I'm just going to be completely sober, I expect, the entire time. And I imagine I'll still have just as much fun. And I think there's something so empowering in that. And I don't know the vocabulary I'm looking for when it comes to this, but there is such a confidence boost of knowing like I enjoy myself. I enjoy the people I've surrounded myself with. I enjoy the things I'm doing. And I don't need something else to make this more fun. Someone asked, what do you tell people who give you a hard time for not drinking? And I know I touched on the whole concept of like peer pressure, et cetera. But if you want like a tangible thing, rarely I find I'm asked this anymore. Maybe it's because of my age or because all of the people in my life know, or because maybe people assume I could be pregnant and they don't want to touch on it, is if someone asks, I just say, oh, no, thank you, I don't drink. And then if they say why, I just say, oh, it doesn't serve me. I just keep it very simple. And if they ask more questions, I'm just like, oh, it really impacts negatively my anxiety and depression. Usually that will stop them. But if they keep going and they're like, oh, come on, just have a drink. This has never happened to me, but this is how I would handle it. I would just say, oh, you know what? I'm actually very, very confident and happy in my decision not to drink. I don't care. Order a drink if you want to drink. I'm not stopping you. I just personally have no interest. And then if they keep pushing you, don't be friends with this person. Like, do not give them the time. I'm sorry. I believe that. Like, who the fuck would push you to do something that you're saying doesn't serve you? Someone asked, do you get frustrated at big events around people all very drunk? I will say that's one of the harder things. But that was always a thing for me because I was never as drunk as everyone else. And very drunk people, I try not to judge because I don't think it's fair. And I don't want people to judge me for not drinking. So I can't then turn around and judge them for drinking. I don't think that's fair. That being said, people who are very overserved can be very annoying if you are not on their wavelength. And I think everyone can agree with that. So are there nights where like I call it earlier? Maybe. But like I was always kind of that person. So I'm more than okay with that. Like I never think there's a benefit to being the last person standing. I just never have. So like I'm happy to pull the ripcord a little early and be like, this was great. I'm going to end on a very good note. I want to have happy memories from this time. Good night. So I think there's that. And then also like, I just feel in my stage of life, I'm not around many people who are like incredibly drunk. So again, I don't know if any or all of this is applicable to like if you're in your early 20s, but I also think that does stand of like, it's okay to not be the last person standing. It's okay to just go home when you're over a situation. Like you have that power to simply just be like, this was fun. It's turning not fun. And I'm going to hit the road. In terms of like mushrooms and marijuana, this was also a question. If you didn't have mushrooms and marijuana, do you think you'd still quit alcohol? Yes, I do. I still think it was the best decision I could have ever made. I still will go to things and do things 100% sober and have the time of my life and still have fun and still be so happy. And so there's no question. Do I enjoy marijuana and mushrooms for other things? Mainly with like the helping with my ADHD, anxiety, depression, overstimulation, creativity? Abso-freaking-lutely. They don't necessarily serve the same purpose as alcohol did for me personally. And even without my relationship with them, I would still choose to not drink. And I say that with the confidence of like, if I made the decision today that I wasn't going to partake in any type of activity, I still would choose not to drink. Do you ever miss contributing to the drunk stories or morning after chats? That's so interesting because I never have thought once about that because I'm still there. I'm still having fun. Like, after the weddings, when we're all hanging out, like I still was a part of all the stories. I actually am the one remembering all of the stories. So I'm kind of the fact checked. And like, I'm looking at all these other questions of like, does it feel lonely? Do you decline invites to events that revolve around drinking more than you used to? None of these things. Like I simply just do all of the things I once did. I'm just not drinking. In terms of that, some people did ask like, how do you deal with when you're going out with friends and they're drinking and a bill comes? It totally depends. Like if I always go into any type of thing being like, this is going to be an even split and I'm okay with that. Obviously, it depends on everyone's financial situations, but that's just what I feel the most comfortable doing. So if I'm out to dinner with girlfriends and they're all drinking, it's usually just an even split. I'm totally okay with that. Like, again, that's a financial situation I'm comfortable being in. If it were a different place and I didn't feel financially comfortable doing that, I would probably just say ahead of time, like, hey, guys, I'm not going to drink. Do you mind? You can just grab the tip if we want to split it evenly or something like that typically evens out. And then in terms of like bachelorettes, that's been the only thing that I've noticed is that typically the person who's hosting it, who's in charge of all the finances, et cetera, I feel like we're all using these apps now, like Splitwise or whatever. They just take me out of the equation for alcohol. I've never asked for it. And if they didn't, I wouldn't ask for it because I personally go into those situations just being like, I'm here for a good time and I'm fine with everything. But I get that it can be a lot of money. And if you're not in a place to do that, I would just ask going into the event being like, hey, I don't drink. So can I just be excluded from like the alcohol cost? But I think almost every like trip I've been on, people have just proactively cut it out of the cost for me. And like same with when I went on a bachelorette pregnant, like I just feel like that's pretty typical, but I do think that's totally fair to say to a friend before you're going into a big event, like, hey, I don't drink. So can you just exclude me from the alcohol part of this bill, whoever's in charge of it? Did you inspire anyone else in your family since you mentioned that they're like heavy alcohol forward? Yes. I don't know if I necessarily inspired my big sister, but she like barely drinks anymore. And I think my husband definitely drinks less because I was the one like opening the bottle of wine or grabbing a beer from the fridge, et cetera. And I will say, I think my mom would probably say, and I think she said it to me before, that she feels she drinks less when we're all together because if I'm not drinking, it's not this like continuous thing, which like, I don't know why I set the tone. I don't need to, but I think that's just the dynamic of our family. We got into that with episode with Lucy. So I think it has had like a ripple effect. I will say one of the most incredible things is the DMs I receive that are like, I always questioned my relationship with alcohol. I just thought it wasn't serving me. You talked about it and I just wanted to try it. And now I'm XYZ months without drinking. It's the best thing I could have ever done. Like, I always think if you're questioning something, why not try it? Like, literally, there's no downside. There's no downside. If you go a month and you're like, you know what? I miss it. And I thought I had a really good relationship with it. And I don't feel any positive difference. Then you go back. But for me, it was such a snowball effect of positive differences that I'm like, why would I go back? Okay, let's talk about differences. People ask about if like I notice any actual things. I will say, I don't know if this is age or if this is alcohol, but my face shape has changed. I will get old videos on my like archive stories, TikTok, etc., and I feel like my face just looks so different and I look like I just have a baby face, like rounder. And again, I don't know if that's age and just like exhaustion because this is post having a child, but I do feel like my face shape has changed. And physically, I mean, I did hit a point. Again, this isn't a pro. I had lost a lot of weight after giving birth. And I think that postpartum experience, breastfeeding, my depression, this like the physicality of motherhood with the addition of stopping drinking, I lost more weight than I mean, I wasn't intentional, but I hit a point where I was like, I don't like how thin I am. And so then I was working with a dietitian and I did end up gaining back like a good 15 pounds to feel more like myself. And that's definitely not like but the reality is that like parts of my body did simply change. I think I just feel like more alert and energized, which is a hard comparison because again, this is also like confusing with like pre-kid and post-kid life, but I do feel it's hard to tap into right now because I'm 4 months postpartum. But in the period where I was not freshly postpartum or pregnant and I was not drinking, I did feel a lot more energized than I felt when I was drinking. Other things I've noticed, I sleep better. Absolutely. Like no question, sleep better. And it's again, this like confidence in yourself where I'm like, I don't need that. I don't know if it's this like going against the grain type feeling of like, I don't need to do what everyone else is doing. I don't think that's it. I think it's this like deep inner connection of like, I always knew myself best and that voice was right. And I'm so proud of myself for listening. I think those are all of the questions. The other like biggest one is just, do you ever miss it? And honestly, no, I don't. I do not ever miss it. Are there times where someone opens, it's very specific moments. Someone gets a very good looking spicy margarita. I have a sip and I'm like, that tequila tastes good. And then I'm like, that's all I want because I know what that does to my brain personally. Same with when someone orders a draft IPA. I'm like, that tastes, let me have a sip because my non-alcoholic beer, my favorite ones aren't draft and I wish they were. I have a sip, that's it. And the third would be like a crisp glass of white wine on a summer 5 o'clock. Again, if someone pours it, I have a sip and I'm like, that's actually all I wanted. And the pros have so heavily outweighed. I honestly can't think of any cons that like, I don't miss it because I'm so happy with my decision. So that's it. 2 years without drinking. I'm proud of myself, quite honestly, even though it's not like this active decision. When I sit down and really think about it, I'm like, wow, I'm really proud of you for putting yourself and your kids first. And if you're considering it, again, try. See how you feel. Nothing needs to be black and white. And if you have made this decision and you feel similarly to me, then like, go us. I'm proud of you too. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you could rate, review, subscribe, do all of the things that helps, share with friends on your social, tag me, etc. I love you and thank you for being here. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Freckled Foodie and Friends. I have so much fun recording the show. It is my favorite part of my job and truly is what lights me up. Your feedback and response to every episode is what keeps me going. And if this episode resonated with you, please feel free to DM me over on Instagram or share on your stories. If you are looking for a way to support the show, please rate and or review on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me and it really helps the show grow. Please also make sure to hit subscribe so that you are up to date with new episodes coming at you every Wednesday morning. And of course, please be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Cameron Oaks Rogers. I love you and I appreciate your support so much.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.